What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am your host, Shane Told. This is Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band, or in this week's guest's case, bands. Many bands. Andy Sizek is here. I call this guy a vocal god because he is super good. He knows what he's doing. He has pretty much every voice under the sun. This guy can do it. And he's got the resume to prove it. He's in bands like Monuments and Macari and Termina and Wander. That's just a few, and there's more coming all the time. As I'm recording this, there's a new Termina EP. There's a new Monument single. Stuff is coming out all the time. And of course, you can find him on Twitch, doing all kinds of stuff on there as well. This guy is active, and he is super humble, super kind. This is exciting stuff. I love that I get to have Andy Sizek on the program right now. Before we get into that, well, I mentioned Twitch. Andy's on there. I'm on there too. And I have brought this podcast to life, not just in the audio sense anymore, but also in the video sense, live on Twitch. Every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am on there live with a guest. This week coming up, I've got Randy from We Were Sharks, and pretty massive news, huge news, actually. The week after that, April 6th, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach will be joining me live on Twitch as well. What a guy, what a career. I cannot wait to pick his brain. Don't worry, that will be here on the audio side of things. However, it would be really cool, wouldn't it, to check that out live, be able to interact with me and Jacoby, ask some questions if you want. And of course, you know, it's unedited. It's a little bit different than what ends up here, super polished. It's a good time over there on Twitch. So I encourage you all to head over there and follow me. Remember, it's completely free and it's a lot of fun. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. It's that easy. Head over there. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. If you do want to support the show and you want bonus episodes, bonus content, you want to be a part of a great community and get some merchandise and all that good stuff, also check out the All Access Club, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. We have well over 400 members. Welcome to all the new members and all the old members from all over the world. I love my sinners. Thank you so much for all of that support. And of course, don't forget, every Wednesday live on Twitch. Also, me and Mike Howell are doing New Noise Live, talking about all the new music that comes out every single week. Mike is a goddamn expert on all this stuff, and it's great to have him. And of course, yes, this comes out on podcast form every Friday, but don't miss it live on Twitch as well. Every Wednesday, we're trying to stick to a regular time. Of course, it's more difficult when two people have to coordinate. It looks like 6 p.m. Eastern time is what we're doing every Wednesday. Again, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. So don't miss that. Anyway, we got a great episode this week, and this guy is fascinating, and this guy is talented. Here it is, my conversation with Andy Sizek. Here with Andy Sizek.
All right, what's up, Shane?
Dude, this is cool, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, man. This is a dream come true, for real.
Oh, man. That's really nice of you to say, man. I it's great because, you know, like I have talked to so many lead singers, you know, over the years. I've been doing this podcast for like 5 years.
And, I know, man.
You know, I was watching, you know, like your YouTube tutorials and,
oh,
you know, I've
shit.
Seen you do Twitch where you have people, you know, bring their vocals to you and you kind of rate them or give them some tips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a guru, you know, like you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm a hack, man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, wow. Stop it right there, man. You are as proficient as they come.
It's funny, though. I did see, I think you were talking about Fry Screaming on YouTube in one of your videos. And you had like a, first of all, you have such a great personality, man. I love watching your shit on YouTube.
Dude. Back at you, man. Seriously, that's very kind.
You're very entertaining and personable, and I really like that about you. But
you're sweet. Thanks.
But here we go. This guy goes so hard. Love this dude. There you go.
Oh, thanks, Ninja Shark.
Maybe he's talking about me. We don't know.
All right. Well, either way.
But you put, you know, you had like these are the bands that use Fry Screaming, and I see like the list, and I'm reading it, and then I go, Silverstein. Wait, that's me. I do that? And I'm like, do I do that? I don't know if I do that.
Oh, hell yeah, you do that, man. I learned from you.
I just,
whether you wanted to teach me or not.
Yeah, I just scream. I don't know. But man, this is great, man. Andy Sizek, and apparently I'm saying your name correctly.
Dude, you're
very impressed.
Killing it. It's amazing. I can't believe it.
Thank you.
Get all kinds of different mispronunciations. You nailed it.
Do people mispronounce the name of your project, Wander?
The very German way? Wander, yeah. I get like Wonder. People think it's like a U.
Yeah.
We used to just be called regular Wander, but then there was like a trademark issue with another group, and we just had to make a split decision to, you know, turn that A upside down.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Everyone's doing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was the only way we could. We were actually on tour at the time, and our like social medias got torn down by the other Wander, and we were like, fuck, what are we going to do? So it was just kind of like a snap choice, and we rolled with it.
Yeah, it makes sense, though. I mean, there
Wonder
is
Wander for life.
There is like a certain amount of like the band that like first did this was like Linkin Park, right? They spelt their name like that so they could get linkinpark.com.
That one looks cool, though. I mean, I like that one.
I know you've done a Linkin Park cover before, so I know you're a fan of the band. I'm not a huge Linkin Park guy. I think I missed the boat on it. I'm too old, but no, like I just always think it's funny when like you do that. Like, is Linkin Park that good a name?
I've never really thought about it, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's just catchy. You know, you remember it easily. Wander's not the best to Google with the V, but whatever, man.
Well, that's what I was going to say, though. I feel like it's probably almost better. Because, like, if you Google Wander Band, like, I feel like a bunch of shit would come up. But if you at least put that V in there,
that's
you
a
know,
good point.
Maybe. I don't know.
The silver lining, you can find it in anything.
I'll take it in the V.
Yeah.
That's what I do, man. Well, this is great. Yeah, thanks for doing this. Hello, everyone in the chat on Twitch here. If you're listening if you're listening on the podcast later, you should come on Twitch. I do these things every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're an Eastern Standard Time guy, aren't you, Andy?
I am. I have been an Eastern guy for life.
So yeah, talk to me about that. So you're from Maryland originally. You live in Florida now.
Actually, I no longer live in Florida.
Oh.
I have returned to my hometown of Frederick, Maryland since the pandemic.
Well, were you turning into Florida man and you had to get out of there before?
I was getting a little Florida-y, you know, starting to grow some weird tendencies. And it's just our lease was up and I was living with the Macari bandmates at the time.
Yeah.
And everyone just had different trajectories on what they were going to do moving forward for living plans. And I missed my family. So, I just came back here. It wasn't a big deal. We do so much online writing that it was cool. So,
well, for sure. I mean, that's the thing, right? And, you know, I have so many questions for you. I don't know where to jump in, but maybe let's get to that later. Let's talk about your early days first. So you're from Maryland. You know, a lot of people first heard about you when you were doing like the Sumerian Records vocal audition, and all of a sudden people are like, holy shit, this kid can sing. But I want to know what happened before that. I haven't found a whole lot of information, you know, about like
Andy Cizik, the kid, you know, like
good.
Growing up, you
and
say
let's
you're
keep
Mr.
It that way.
Oh, is that, is, are you,
no, just,
are you a
just kidding? Because, no, of course not. I'm an open book, man.
Oh, cool. I don't know. I haven't read that much about it, so I'm just curious, yeah. You know, like, you know, what was it like for you growing up? What was your, you know, your family structure like and all that?
First of all, very thoughtful and kind of you to ask. I appreciate that. My story is not super unique. You know, my parents are still together.
So are mine.
I grew up being kind of the weird introvert, got bullied a lot in school, did the talent show, and started to come out of my shell with music. I guess when I was like 15 or 16 is when I started singing. I was like a big video game nerd, and uh-huh. That there was that game Rock Band.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you know, cover these songs. I think you guys have some songs.
Maybe, yeah.
But anyway, I sort of learned to sing that way through
wild.
Gaming. It was like my excuse because I was too shy to naturally just go for it. But I kind of knew I had it in me. You know, I could like hear it. I could feel it. But I was terrified. So,
yeah,
you know, I just kind of stepped in that way and got my feet wet in the nerdiest way possible.
So, yeah, well, I know you play other instruments, too, a little bit. I know you vocals yeah. are your main thing, but, you know, you have you got some guitar skills. I mean, it's hard when you're in a band like Monuments. Like,
right, right.
Dude, I mean, do any of us play guitar compared to those guys? Right.
Like nothing,
you
yeah.
know.
My dad's a guitar player. Also plays rock and roll music. So he bought me a guitar when I was a kid, and before I started singing, I was just, you know, playing Smoke on the Water on a Fender Squire. And that gave me a good foundation. I took lessons and learned a lot just about melodies and stuff. And once I took that leap into singing, I was sort of like slacking off on guitar. I was like, forget it, I'm gonna do vocals instead. So just joined a few bands here and there, local bands, and I did my first tour when I was 18. I was just in some like easy core pop punk thing, and just baby steps from there. We were called Littlefoot.
Littlefoot? There any Littlefoot music online? Is it available?
I almost wish that I didn't say that because I'm so embarrassed by
yes,
it.
Yes, I got him.
But it's out there. Yeah, you could probably still find a couple songs.
I love it.
With your boy.
That's awesome. Oh my God, like Land Before Time?
I think that was the reference. I joined the band as the second singer, which is something I guess I've had a tendency of doing, replacing singers. So that was a little bit of foreshadowing.
Absolutely. But no, what I was going to say about Rock Band is an interesting thing, you know, and, you know, with Guitar Hero before it, that did put an interesting... you know, it gave kids like this weird gateway into guitar playing, and then Rock Band was even more kind of real, especially with the drums because vocals too. Because like if you can play drums to Rock Band, you pretty much can play drums to the actual
that
song.
That one was legit. The drums were actually like pretty close. The guitar is a bunch of buttons,
I know.
Not the same.
I
but
know.
Yeah, no, dude. I mean, I wonder how many other nerds like me found some sort of musical talent through those video games. I mean, I just, it was an excuse. I always wanted to do it, but the game sort of allowed me to do it in my own comfort zone.
Yeah, no, totally. So, okay. So your dad's a guitar player. You got your own guitar, Fender Squire. There you go. Who didn't have a Fender Squire as their first guitar? So, okay, so what, did you take lessons? Did you go full, like, I don't know how old you are, but was YouTube a thing at this point? Like, how did you learn?
Yeah. So I'm 28, believe it or not. And when I got my first guitar, I think I was probably 10 or 11.
Okay. So no YouTube
yeah,
yet.
Like, I took lessons at our local music shop for a couple years and learned how to be, like, a competent rhythm guitar player. I could play power chords. That was basically it. I had a good enough ear that I could learn any like, you know, stuff
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
And that was a gateway into, I actually met, some of the guys in my band Wander, by joining like a smaller, crappier, you know, we were probably like 16. And I was the rhythm guitarist and clean vocalist. we loved The Devil Wears Prada and bands like that that were just doing that. You know what I mean? It was like a new thing to us.
So you were Jeremy.
Yeah, I was the Jeremy. I wanted to be Jeremy.
Shout out to Jeremy, a good buddy.
You get it. Yeah,
one of the best.
But you know, that gradually just became, you know, I evolved into just doing vocals because that's where I felt most at home. And I don't know, I just wanted to put my all into one thing.
Absolutely. No, I mean that's the thing too that happens, right? Like, vocals are I don't think a lot of people start out, at least singers that kind of quote unquote make it, almost none of them really start out as singers. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, actually, especially in our genre. It's not the first thing that most people are comfortable with just picking up.
Yeah. So, okay, so you know, you got these skills and whatever, you know, and you say you're 28 now. If my math serves me, when you were making that Sumerian, you know, vocal tape audition, you were like 23 at that point? 22, 23?
Sure. Yeah. So I honestly don't even remember how long ago it was. So
but like, you know, you weren't like 15, you know, there's a period of time there. My point of this question is like, there was a point of time there where like you were doing adult shit. Like, did you go to school? Did you, you know, were you doing, cause obviously like you were in bands and stuff, but nothing really panned out for you until relatively later, you know, for a lot of people were like, you know, they're 15, 16 and they're, you know, I think about like Caleb Shomo and guys like that, like super young thrust into this.
Dude, I know. I thought about Caleb all the time. I still do. I'm like, man, he was 16 on Warped Tour. What the fuck?
I can't believe he's not dead.
Dude, he has persevered. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing vocalist.
Still a great dude,
But again, thanks for asking, man. It's a very thoughtful question. I went to a trade school. First, I tried college for a semester, and I hated it. Wasn't for me. And then I went to a trade school for audio production and engineering. Okay. And it was just like an intensive program for a year, like 9 hours of class every weekday, learning the fundamentals of sound. We got to fuck around on big consoles like the Neve. And it was great. It taught me the foundation for everything that I do now. Vocals are obviously the most important thing, but a huge side of my success, I guess, is the ability to record and engineer my own stuff.
Yeah.
So that once I had the confidence to start doing that, you know, I went out and like bought like Logic Express and a Pod when I was really young and Superior drummer and just, you know, doing that and going to school. It helped me learn how to record. And I produced the first Wander record that way. So that was like I did it in my bedroom basically. And, that got my foot in the door. It gave me more confidence to do the next thing. And, like I said, not a lot of success, but then the Sumerian thing, I did not expect much from that. You know, it was just a fun thing to do. And I thought maybe it would be a good way to get my name out there. And I submitted my audition kind of late. I just sort of winged it. I mean, the response was stupid good. It was like my biggest breakthrough was losing a contest, I always say.
oh, you didn't win?
No, so
what was it even for? I still like, I don't even understand the context of why this, because I understand an audition tape for a specific band maybe, but like for a label?
Sure.
Weird.
Basically, the label was saying, we've got a super group of other musicians from different bands on Sumerian Records. I'm not telling you who it is, but cast your audition out there. And so I did mine late. I was told that they selected someone before I even uploaded mine. I don't know if that's true or false. Doesn't really matter. But they made some music. I think that vocalist left, and then they're back now. They're called In Motive. It has nothing to do with me though at this point. You know, like I was never affiliated with them and we never spoke. Hopefully they don't hate me for accidentally like pulling the steam out of, you know, what became of the group. I just wanted to get my name out there and make something cool. And yeah, it exceeded my expectations. I'm really happy with how everything turned out.
No, 100%. I thought it was interesting watching the audition video, because I think I saw it a while back, but I watched it again today. You don't do any screaming in it, right? Is there any screaming at all in it?
Oh, no. It's just singing, and I guess, you know, I do the distorted vocal, gritty notes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That was a new thing for me at the time. You know, the song, like that part. It was like something new I had learned from listening to other bands, and I was just like keen on trying it in a song.
Yeah.
So.
No, but it's crazy because you're known so much for your screaming now, where you didn't really come from that, right? Like Wanderer,
no,
I don't know if Wanderer has any screaming either. It's, you know,
no.
It's you know, and you've transitioned into, you know, other genres where maybe people seeing that or wouldn't have thought you had that in you. And now you've proved an extreme amount of versatility.
Thank you so much, man. That means the world coming from you. I appreciate that. I couldn't scream for a long ass time, dude. Like I could barely sing for a long ass time. Let's be real. Like when we're first starting out, no idea what you're doing, you know, just losing your voice, yelling and shit. What happened to me was when I was young, I was just blowing out my voice all the time, right, at shows, and I actually like experienced some vocal damage. Got like small nodules. You know what nodules are?
Yeah.
At kind of a young age. So I went to speech therapy, and they said you've been breathing completely wrong, mm-hmm. and doing this completely wrong. This, and this. And from then on, I took it really seriously. I took like 6 months off. The nodules went away, completely cleared up. And from then, I was just obsessive about learning vocal technique. So it was like a good warning, a wake-up call for me to be like, hey, you know, you should stop trying to be like, ooh, natural talent, and maybe learn something, because it'll keep you from fucking your shit up. And then that also just made me progress and, you know, level up as a vocalist. Every time I heard something that I couldn't do on a record, I was like, I got to figure out how to do that. And I just became obsessive over, you know, the rabbit hole of techniques and all this stuff, you know, chest voice, head voice, what's your range, tenor or whatever, fry and false chord screaming. Yeah, it was just like a 10-year journey, I guess. And it's still going. I'm still learning.
It's amazing, right? Because with you know, when you're talking about any other instrument, that's kind of what everyone does. Like everyone learns various techniques, you know, and they practice them, and they know, like when you're talking about guitar, like you know what a slide or a hammer-on is, or like a bend, right? But like there are so many people that are singers, and believe me, I've talked to like 250 of them that are like, I don't know, I just kind of get up there and I do my thing.
Oh,
you know?
My God, I know. And it's, I hear that all the time.
And these are professionals. These are, you know, legitimate singers, and some of them are amazing vocalists.
Of course.
That they really don't have any idea what they're doing, but they're doing it.
I envy that so much, because everything I do is extremely premeditated and practiced and thought out. I am not really a wing it type of person.
Right.
So I envy that. I envy the people that I don't really warm up. I just go up there and hope for the best, and then they kill it. I'm like, what the fuck is in your blood, man?
I'll admit, I am much more that.
Oh, I know,
person.
Dude. I've listened to quite a few of your of this podcast. Right. I just checked out the one with Luke. Shout out to Calling All Captains. We did a tour with them, actually.
He's actually
anyway.
Pretty well. He had a pretty good take on some of the, you know, vocal technique and stuff too. He's a little more on your side.
Yeah, I loved hearing you guys talk about range and, you know, who he uses to warm up and everything. But you're one of those people that you said you didn't even really know your vocal range, and I was like blown away by that.
I know kind of the notes, like where I have to cut
you're
myself
a tenor
off
for the record.
Okay,
you are.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm a ten.
Oh, dude, you're a tenor out of ten.
but no, I mean, I don't know. It's just a weird thing, right? Like so many people, they aren't really singers, and like a lot of us come from like punk rock, where I don't know. It's not always about the the nuts and bolts of it as much as there is the about the feeling and the, you know, the emotion and yep. what you're saying, which seems like that's also something that you're really good at too.
Thank you, man. It's the beauty of punk and emo and just wearing it on your sleeve, you know, all of that sort of goes hand in hand. The lyrics and the way you sing, it's not like opera, you know, it's more primal than that. So yeah. naturally it's more about the sum of the parts and not about all this technical shit. But still the technical shit helps, you know, it's good to have a mix of, punk and, technique, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you do this audition tape thingy and, you know, you get a little bit of notoriety there. And, I read a headline that said Andy Cizik finally gets in a big band, you know, and with Monuments, I guess, was the right. first one.
A band the only one. No.
Well, there's Macari, too. But, you know, Monuments, you know, you join this band. They've been around a long time. They've got a lot of music. They're from the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how that all happened and what it felt for you to like finally be doing this, you know, in your, I guess, getting into your late 20s and just the pressure that is kind of on there too for you.
Yeah. I kind of have a lot to say about that actually.
Please do. That's why we're here.
So basically, the Wander stuff that was going okay, but I wanted more. We did a tour with Macari when they had another singer, and then that singer didn't work out. They hit me up, and when I joined, it was like pure chemistry. Shout out to the Macari boys for accepting me into the band, and that really just changed my life because it was like a step. Everything is a stepping stone, and so yeah, I was doing Macari for a while, but I've always wanted to do metal. Always like. It's just something that it's my passion. You know, at the end of the day, heavy music is still my favorite. And awesome. Doing the metal frontman thing and screaming and leaving all the angry emotions out there, it just always appealed to me. So that's why I started doing a lot of YouTube covers and trying to showcase my skills and what I can do. And I think it was Ollie Steele, the guitar player, one of the guitar players of Monuments. He discovered me on YouTube and we just sort of became online friends for a couple years, you know, met up at a show or two. And gradually he would confide in me, you know, like, I'm not sure if it's going to work out with our current singer. What are you doing? Would you be down to fill in for something? And I was just like, dude, anytime. You guys fucking need me. I love Monuments.
Sick.
I'll be there. You know what I mean? So that didn't really pan out for a while. It was a long time before finally, you know, they let their singer go. And then it was just like, dude, we have a South Africa tour booked. Can you fill in? I had never even left North America.
Wow. I've never even been to South Africa. And I've been to 60 countries.
It's beautiful. I'm so lucky. I just have to, like, I'm insanely lucky. But it was like being, you know, I went from playing to like 50 to 100 kids a night to like 500 plus, you know, or whatever on average. And that was like, I was so nervous and basically playing these shows and in my head, like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, don't fuck up. For a while until I started to get like my legs for it. After the South Africa thing, I was like, I really need to like buckle down because if I'm going to be doing long ass sets of screaming and singing, it has to be sustainable. So, I bugged Melissa Cross, the mother of screaming. You know who she is. Of course,
I do know Melissa. She taught me a few lessons. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. So she called me back finally and gave me like the greatest, you know, vocal knowledge of my life. And I took that and practiced on that. And then Monuments did a few more tours. We did the European thing. We went to India.
Wild.
And I just proved, I guess I proved to myself over time that I could do it. And it gave me a lot of confidence. I went from being very timid on stage to just, you know, I got you motherfuckers in the palm of my hand. Let's go, Wall of Death. Fuck it. Walking on hands and shit.
Right.
And it really just opened me up in so many ways. Because I was doing a lot of melodic stuff, which I love. What Macari is doing is like so fulfilling for me. I grew up listening to like a lot of post-hardcore, Dance Gavin Dance and stuff. But there was that other facet of wanting to do metal that I just couldn't ignore. And I had like tried out for Volumes and stuff back in the day, and
okay, a
few other metal bands didn't pan out. So I was like, I'm aging. I'm on the wrong side of my 20s. Is this going to happen? And yeah, the Monuments thing, it was like the answer to my prayers. So really wild, and I'm super grateful. And those guys are like some of the most proficient metal musicians ever.
Yeah.
And I'm just here, ooh, making mouth noises, you know, along for the ride.
That's incredible, man. I thanks for sharing all that and that story. And
yeah, thanks for listening.
Well, yeah, you know, well, sorry, I'm just looking at this. You know, like, were you guys not supposed to do a whole whack of touring in 2020?
We were doing a North American tour schedule that fell through twice.
Okay.
Basically, the first time was like a visa manager snafu, and then the second time was COVID, and then it was like, well, this isn't going to happen. Fuck. And yeah, now we're all depressed.
Yeah,
it sucks.
It's just interesting for you, you know, and this kind of goes for all your projects. Really, is, you know, you have such a great following and fan base on things like Twitch. You know, you've got your own, you know, stuff that you do on streaming services, you know, like Spotify, Apple Music, and stuff. And not to mention your YouTube channel, which I think has over 100,000 followers as well. So that's all generating, you know, a fair amount of income to where, you know, you're able to sustain yourself probably fairly well. Whereas someone like me, I'm just getting into this Twitch thing. You know, obviously the podcast has done really well and stuff. So I have some other things, but, you know, there are people that have 95% of their income is coming from touring. So
yeah,
for you,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
not, you know, obviously, yeah, it's depressing, especially with you. Like, finally, it's like, I want to go all these places.
I know, that's the thing. I was like, I'm hitting my stride. Let's go. And
right,
then
right.
COVID. Fuck. Dude, like, I love doing Twitch and I love making content and recording and all that stuff. And it makes me enough money to float by. I'm not rolling in it by any means, trust me. But I got into music to perform, and that's what makes me feel the most fulfilled and comfortable expressing my emotions, you know, better than any words just speaking can. All I ever wanted to do was be on that stage. And so while I'm very grateful and stoked on all the online stuff that I can do, the lack of performing has left such a void in me, and it's really tough. You know, income aside, all I want to do is get back out there and play shows, you know, whether I'm making $2 or 2000, like, I don't care. You know, at this point, I just, it's good for my soul. And that's the most important thing.
Amen to that, brother.
You're right. I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, you've been doing this for 20 plus years.
Yeah, I have. Jeez, you said it out loud. It is.
I'm
it
sorry,
has been 20
sorry.
Plus years. It's crazy.
I know, Shane.
it's now. I just turned 40 last month, and now
happy late birthday, man.
Well, thank you, man. And now it's officially more than half my life I've been in Silverstein.
That is fucking crazy. That's quite an accomplishment, man. Seriously, like,
It is wild.
Not a lot of musicians can say anything close to that. And you guys are still rocking and killing it. And you've never fallen into obscurity. I don't know, man. You've done a lot of amazing stuff.
Well, thanks, brother. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah, you're very inspiring, man. You always have been.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Well, here's the thing about touring, okay? And I know you've done, for your skill set and for, you know, how long you've been doing it now, especially with the last, you know, like you said, about to hit your stride. But I remember, I read this in another interview you did. You have had some vocal issues live. You know, with it just being hard, because I think,
absolutely,
you know, it's one thing to do it in the studio. It's one thing to do it in the comfort of your own Twitch camera setup or on YouTube where there's editing or whatever. It's another thing to be like, all right, we're playing six nights a week or more. Like, you know, I'm not getting sleep. People are smoking in front of me.
Oh my god, yeah.
You know, all the international stuff, like the jet lag, all that stuff factors in. And for you, who, you know, you take this so seriously, this is your art.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a recipe. Not, I don't want to say recipe for disaster, because that's kind of intense. But
you're very intuitive, man. Because when I'm on tour, although I love performing more than anything, it's also a very stressful thing to be constantly worried about your voice. And because, one, in the studio, I push myself to the fucking limits every time because I got something to prove, or I don't know. It's just what I do. I always want to, like, express the peak of my abilities in on record, and then like, oh, live, I'll figure it out later. So because I do stuff like that, because I do so much extreme vocals, the switching, the screaming and the singing, it is something that I have to really keep an eye on, and you know, self-discipline. Like, I can't just smoke a bunch of weed on tour and you know, drink a lot. And I just naturally have sleeping problems, so that's tough on its own. The diet thing, vocal rest, all that stuff is just swirling around my head all the time. I always get it done. You know, there's been a few times where I've been like so sick that I couldn't perform, but, you know, for the most part, I'm very proud of all of my, my live performances. I think that, because I take a lot of precautions and because I stress out about it so much, not saying that that's the best thing, but it keeps me in check. And, you know, there's other things you can do, tune down a half step for the really high songs and stuff like that. I have no issue doing that. If I can still nail the song, that's the most important thing. But yeah, dude, like, I'm a perfectionist and I always want it all. So, I'm going balls out all the time, and that can be to my detriment. You know, like, you know firsthand that singing and screaming for an hour and a half is a very taxing thing.
Well, there's that part of it too, but then there's also like the running around and the stage banter and like all that stuff that isn't there when you're in the studio. Even though, like, I can, like, if I'm in the studio and I got like a good mix. That's another thing too, hearing yourself properly. But, you know, if I've got a good mix in the studio, I can sing for hours without like literally starting to lose it.
Sure.
I can't do that on stage.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, dude. It's a whole different climate. There's so many factors. Like, hearing yourself is a huge one, obviously. If you can't hear yourself, you will just oversing and blow your shit very fast. So the in-ear monitors were a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
But also, like, in the studio, you can take breaks between takes, and that allows like the swelling to subside. All of the singing stuff, it causes friction. So when you're doing these songs in sequence, line after line, live with no breaks, jumping around, technique going out the window, it wears on you so much faster. So, like, I'm totally with you there. The art of studio recording and, you know, singing live, they're so different. And I respect both of them. I think that there's something to say about knowing what you're doing and what you can pull off in the studio, and then being able to pull it off live. You know what I mean? Like, finding your way around it, or maybe, like, you know, my bass player Jay will back me up on these these lines that I can, so I can pull away and take a break. Right. All right. That stuff is important. And, I learned that the hard way. You know, I used to try to be a hero and do it all, not miss a single line, not tune down, you know, and then I would lose my voice on tour. So,
that was Silverstein in the early days. Like we had these, and thankfully we've lost this. I don't know if it's just getting old and jaded and not caring or what people say or whatever, but you know, at the beginning we were so like punk that we had to tune to E. Like it had to be E, or maybe drop D is fine, but like,
dude, you guys played in E. I can't believe
that. Tuning down too low was lame, or like double kick. No, double kick was lame too. Like that's not punk, man. So there were all these like kinds of rules we put in. Absolutely no keyboards, no synths, no programming. Like that's what was like important in the beginning. Now we do all that shit except for save double kick. We don't do that. But yeah, like I remember the third record. We tuned down a half step. We decided we were going to try it, you know, for like a bit of a darker sound or whatever. And then because we didn't have the luxury of bringing a whole bunch of guitars to switch back and forth between, you know, standard tuning and a half step down,
That's a very common thing, yeah.
Well, we played all the songs in half step.
Right, exactly.
And after that first show, I was like, we're never going back.
Dude, I was the same way. Macari did the same thing because we used to play in original key and then we started doing half step and it was like, wow. Once you realize that pride is just shooting yourself in the foot, you know, once you realize that, like, I think when we all start out, we just have something to prove and we want to like show off and, you know, there's a certain amount of wankery, I think, is what I like to call it. But then when you find yourself as a musician and you're more secure, you realize you don't need to do that, you know, play to your strengths and you're probably nailing it now, you know, without struggling all the time, you know, versus when you were trying to be a hero and, you know, not this, we're too cool for this, elitist, like, fuck that. Everyone's been there. I've definitely been there, but when you learn to relax and let some stuff go, give yourself some slack, basically.
For sure,
No, you do a lot better. And that was my journey, you know, from, like you said, like having these vocal problems to progressing, you know, to what it is now where I'm a lot more comfortable. It's still not easy. You know, I still stress about, I always will because I'm that kind of guy. But I wouldn't have lasted as long as I have if I didn't give up some of that stubborn, you know, that pride.
Yeah, for sure. No, someone's asking in the chat, what does tuning down do? And essentially all it does is lowers the pitch that you have to sing. But we're talking about a half step, like literally step. One note, like the, you know, and it's amazing how just one half step lower makes so much difference. It's crazy.
It really preserves your voice. Yeah. And you know what? 90% of people don't even notice that you've tuned the song down a half a step. Like there are some astute musicians that are like, oh, okay, lower tuning. And then there's that 1% elitist asshole that's like, wow, lower tuning, they can't do it. Fuck that, you know.
But nobody can tell.
The majority is like, oh shit, they're performing this song really well. And that's it. So
no, nobody can tell, I don't think. Yeah. Like if you're tuning down a lot, maybe you can. Like I saw Black Sabbath a few years back. Actually, it was my 35th birthday in Las Vegas. It was sick. And so Ozzy was up there.
That's sick.
And he's, you know, not doing a whole lot of moving around, but he sounded good. But there were songs when you were like, okay, that original is in E. That note's definitely like a C now.
Some are weird. There's definitely certain songs that maybe don't translate as well. And also, like, you get older, maybe you're not tuning a half step, you're tuning a full step, and then it starts to become, okay, that sounds weird. But I think, you know, in general, a half step is safe and responsible, and it's been, you know, that's common practice. So,
yes, 100%.
You got to realize that touring is fucking hard, and you take the good with the bad, and, you know, don't let perfectionism get in the way of having a good time and performing well. Yeah. And that's just something that I learned through trial and error and failure and all that good stuff.
100%, man. Dude, this is great, man. We got a good group here in on Twitch, and this is really nice. Thanks everybody.
Yeah,
for,
you guys are awesome.
Thanks for everybody
Thank
for tuning
guys.
In. I remind you to follow Andy on his own Twitch, Instagram, Twitter at Andy Cizek, Cizek. Mm-hmm. We say Zed in Canada, and I always love Zed. I always forget which one is the American one and which one is the Canadian one. I don't know which I say anymore.
Dude, say the one that feels the most badass. Zed. I like Zed. Yeah.
Zed, yeah. it literally is the most annoying thing because the whole alphabet song all of a sudden doesn't rhyme.
Oh, no.
Right?
I didn't think about that one. Shit.
Yeah, TUVWXYNZ.
Oh, shit. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Yeah, my perfectionist brain is exploding. Yeah.
It's too funny, man. A couple more things before I let you go. Thanks for doing this, by the way, man, too. One thing that you've become a little bit famous for is all the covers that you do, you know, in some of your projects and also on your own. Mm-hmm. And a question I have for you, I'm sure lots of people have questions about covers, is have you ever recorded a cover and decided, nope, couldn't pull this one off, I'm canning this one, I'm not putting mm-hmm. it out? Has that
yes,
ever happened?
Yes, I have. I have done that.
What song?
It was a Periphery song called Remain Indoors. It's on Periphery 3, I think. Yeah, Periphery 3. And I was mm-hmm. really inexperienced. This was probably back, like right when it was released, which was many years ago. And I was not fully comfortable with my high range. I tracked it out and I was like, this sucks. And yeah, I just never released it. And you know what, man? Like, there are several covers of mine, old ones, that I would have, you know, done the same. Like, I look at them now, I'm like, this is crap. but you have to have those videos that aren't so good in order to start putting out videos that are pretty good. If I was afraid to put something out that was sort of shitty when I was starting out all the time, then, you know, I wouldn't have put any content out at all. So...
Right,
well, yeah,
that's true.
Canned a couple that I was just not fully proud of. You know, I can honestly say I'm not fully proud of many things I've put out in my past that people still like. So it is what it is. You know, it shows progress. And, you know, I try not to take myself too seriously because you're your own worst critic.
I'm just looking at the chat. I'm not laughing at what you're saying. It's just
very
funny comments in here. yes, please ask Andy some questions. There's already tons in here.
Shit. What's my favorite recent band?
If you can see any, if you want, I can highlight any.
State of Mind. My favorite recent band, I'd probably say Spirit Box. Thanks for saying hi to my cat. What song do you recommend me checking out? If you're a post-hardcore fan, check out Makari, the song Transient. I think that one will vibe with you. If you like metal, check out Monuments, Animus, or my other band, Termina. We got a song called Lucid. You might like that.
Cool.
Those are the ones I've seen. If anybody has burning questions, feel free to pop them in. And
there are always burning questions. Yeah, Spirit and Spirit Box does rip. Shout
out
to Courtney.
I'm very stoked for their new album.
Yeah, how was pulling off that cover?
It was interesting, actually. I wanted to match her tone, you know what I mean? But she's got a different register than me, and those notes are more relaxed and delicate. So I had to sort of like adapt this breathy... it was an experiment. To try to match Courtney's tone. But yeah, I'm happy with how it came out, and I think I learned a thing or two along the way. That's a good thing about doing covers, man. And probably why I've grown so much as a vocalist is because every time I did a cover, I had to push myself out of my comfort zone in some way, whether I was covering Chris Cornell or Chester Bennington or Tillian, you know, they all have these different qualities in their voice, and for me it was about figuring it out and the cover was like a way to prove myself, like I can do this and I can add it to my repertoire. Yeah, every little cover just taught me something new about what I could do with my voice. And yeah, that was like a kind of just a happy byproduct of wanting to get my name out of there.
100%. No, you bring up Tillian, you know, good friend of me, good friend of the show.
Yeah.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
Insane, right? Huge, high range.
We haven't talked about Macari all that much, have we?
Please, let's talk about her. Otherwise, yeah, they're going to kill me.
Because, no, I mean, that's just a crazy thing. Obviously, all of a sudden, you're stepping into stuff that's been recorded by, I mean, the guy's incredible.
Yeah. So Macari is definitely like pretty heavily influenced by DGD for me, at least. Kurt Travis, their second singer, was always my. You've interviewed Kurt.
Yeah, I love Kurt.
Yeah, me too, man. But he was always my like huge, biggest inspiration for singing. I grew up on the two Kurt albums, the Death Star one and Happiness. Yeah. And then Tillian joined, and he took it to like an even higher level, literally. And I don't have that natural counter tenor range that he does, but I learned how to extend and stretch my range up into those notes, you know, with like a mixed belting sort of thing. I couldn't have put that stuff into Macari if I didn't have those inspirations from people like Kurt or Tillian or whoever. And so when I joined Macari, it was like another step out of my comfort zone. You know, I wanted to, their last singer sang really high and I had to sing those songs too.
Yes.
So adapt and then make that a part of the music moving forward. And yeah, man, dude, it did so much for me joining that band and it allowed me to push myself a lot. You know what I mean? I guess like just because Wander is so different, it's a more comfortable place. And Macari was like, you know, shooting for the stars. I had no choice but to tread water and it was like do or die, basically.
Yeah. It's wild, man. What's next for, you know, you? Because there's been, correct me if I'm wrong, you've put out singles with your projects, but you haven't done a full album yet, have you?
So Macari, we've done a full length and an EP. Wander's got several, like a shitload of music out. But if you're talking Monuments, yeah, Monuments, we've only released one song with me on it. And it's been a while. Like, I've been in the band almost 2 years now, I think. Things move slowly, and those guys are very, very busy often. But now, within the last probably 3 months, we've been cracking down and writing the fourth Monuments full length. So the gears are turning. My other band with Nick Nocturnal, I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he's like a YouTube guitar legend. we're in a band called Termina together, and we also have a full length on the way. So I think that's going to come out probably next month. And then you can also expect a new Monuments single this month. Don't know when the album's gonna be finished, but I can say for sure it's happening. We just really want to take our sweet time, and yeah, hopefully it'll be sick.
Awesome, man! I love it so much. This is exciting, man. This is exciting stuff.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, you know, those guys being from the UK, it's like it's looking good over there, right? They have their schedule of when they're opening stuff back up.
Things definitely look better over there. If I can get over there for like a live stream or something, that would be killer.
Yeah, that's another thing. You haven't done it, any of that, have you, with any of the bands?
No, I haven't.
It's tough, I guess, with everybody.
Macari is planning something for Twitch, so stay tuned for that. And then Monuments, not really like supposed to say much, but we're definitely looking into the idea of a full production live stream.
Nice. I hope it happens.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Thanks, man.
And from Fret Slammer 94, how difficult was it to cover Picturesque?
Oh wow,
because Kyle's Kyle is next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, man. I want to clear the air about that. That shit was hard as fuck. Probably the most I pushed my voice ever to reach high notes, not in my natural range, but again, it was like a thing where I wanted to prove to myself that I could. Kyle has a very unique voice. I think it's called Ligario tenor, Ligario, something like that. But basically he's got a normal talking voice, and then like his singing voice, it's like all the way up there. He can just do it. Yes. So I don't have that in me, but like I've learned to do the upper extension. But there's no fucking way I could sing that live. No way.
It's not easy.
Yeah. And but he does it. We've toured with them.
We have too.
He does it. It's pretty insane.
It is. And actually, speaking of Picturesque, Kyle from Picturesque is going to be here in exactly 1 week, live on Twitch.
Oh,
right here.
Shit.
Kyle from Picturesque. So yeah, make sure you
lovely guy.
You follow and you don't miss that, because it's going to be really, it's going to be a, kind of a cool extension of this conversation.
Dude.
I don't know how much he knows technically
about his
voice.
He knows a good
bit.
I've talked to him.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by his voice, actually. Like, that was definitely an influence for like my vocal grit and stuff, like the fry on the, you know how you can like sing a note clean or you can sing it with like distortion. And when I heard the way Kyle sang, I was like, dude, that is sick. That is emotional and
yeah,
it's dope. So I got to incorporate that. Yeah, he's a different breed. Really cool style, really cool vocal style.
Yeah. No. Awesome, man. Well, There's your handle live on the screen there. Andy Czizek, A-N-D-Y-C-I-Z-E-K.
Zed!
There we go.
Zed!
Go, yeah. There it is. I saw that in the questions too. Sing the ABC song, and then when you get to Zed, just go full guttural.
X, Y, Z! Yeah. My neighbors are yelling at me. Oh, shit.
I can't see you have this like, I guess it's just for you, it's all like a just technical, like, okay, I'm just gonna scream. Like, if I'm gonna do that, I have to, like, I don't know, put my in-ears and flash some lights on me and like have a couple beers first to like get in the mood. Like, that's like, I don't even know, like something just changes in me. And then I'm like performing. I don't know if I could just do that and just start going like, Zod! Like, I can't even, I'm not there.
No, I get it. You have to be in the right mindset and you know, the stars and the adrenaline. And I am like that to a degree, but because I've focused so much on technique and like incorporating that into my everyday life, I basically talk the way that I sing and I scream. So my placement, the feeling is always there, you know?
Wow.
That being said, though, if my voice is in bad shape, if I've just woken up, if I haven't spoken all day or warmed up, I'm going to sound like ass. I won't be able to do it. You know what I mean? Sure. So, like, I definitely require quite a bit of preparation if I want to sound good as well. But I don't know. At the same time, I've just become so comfortable with the screaming thing that I can, you know, just bust it out like a stupid parlor trick, and it's good for Twitch, I guess. You know what I mean?
It's not like the most
marketable skill or anything. Just a little thing I can do.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, don't plan on putting it on your resume anytime soon.
My resume.
I mean,
yeah.
Like if it's, I'm not saying you're gonna have to get a job at Home Depot or anything, but if you ever have to, you probably leave that one out.
Yeah, no, that one stays on the Twitch stream. It stays within you and me, man.
Absolutely.
But yeah, dude, I mean, like, my parents for a long time, you know, just enduring that, me spazzing out randomly and doing, like, bless them, seriously. I they didn't let me just be in my room and make weird noises all day. You know, I don't know what the fuck I would be doing, so, yeah. It all just a comfortable thing for me over time.
I love it, dude. Well, that's sweet, man. Well, I'm going to, we'll sign off on the podcast side.
All right.
I want to play a couple tunes for the people. Obviously, I'm not going to play it right now for everyone on Twitch, but a couple tunes. What should I play? Obviously, I want to play the one Monument song.
Yeah.
Do you have another favorite from you know,
Let's do
I can throw on for the people.
Let's do a new Macari song. It's off of our latest EP, Mend. It's called Let Go. I think that's a good best of both worlds. I don't want to like shove too much music in your face, but I'm also in a band called Termina. It's more deathcore heavy. And then Wanders, if you like pop punk and stuff like that, please check it out.
There you go. Love it. Wander with a V. Don't forget the Vanda.
Yeah.
Vanda Ba.
Thank you so much for having me on this. Seriously, I consider this to be like a milestone and like something that I'm really proud of. Just conversing with you today has been such a privilege. So I really appreciate it.
Dude, Andy, thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So there it is with Andy Sizek. What a guy. What a voice. So many projects on the go. It's hard to keep track. In fact, I may have misspoke in the intro, but here it is. I'm going to set the record straight. There is a new Monuments song coming out tomorrow. It's called Dead Nest. Termina has a new song out right now. They also have a new album coming out April 9th. So yeah, check that out. That's coming up super soon. Pre-order that. I am going to play some music from that in just a minute. But before I go, I want to thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. It means everything to me. If you like the show, please go on iTunes, rate a review, preferably 5 stars. Tell a friend, tell a loved one, join the All Access Club. If you want to get in touch with me, you always can. My email address is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And thanks for all the support on Twitch as well. Please go on there and add me because there's so much cool stuff coming up, like Jacoby from Papa Roach in less than 2 weeks. He will be on there hanging out with me. Super cool. twitch.tv/ShaneTold. All right, I'm going to leave you with 2 songs. I played some Monuments in the intro, so I'm going to play Macari Let Go, followed by Termina, The Edge of Time. Here they are. Some music from Andy Sizek on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.